Hey everyone, welcome to your podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to welcome Mr. Mike Dell to the show. Mike, fighting a little bit of a, scratchy voice this morning. So if I'm not 100% there, just take over for me, all right?
All right, except for I'm having the same sort of issues. So isn't that crazy? 5,000 miles apart and we both end up with the same crud.
Yeah, well, originally crud. Just woke up this morning and with my mouth on fire. Who knows? Maybe I snored all night. It's unusual for me, but good be done. But you guys don't care about that, do you? Two dudes talking about snoring or having sore throats. But anyway, everyone, welcome to your podcast. And boy, we got some exciting stuff to talk about today. Lots. As a matter of fact, this week is going to be a big week here. We're fully expecting IAB certification. Matter of fact, I have the paperwork, Mike, for the IAB certification, and we're just waiting for the official word to say go. So
nice.
Part of that is some stuff we're going to talk about today. Some new Blueberry Pro stats features, right?
Oh yeah, we've been working here, or the dev team has been. I wasn't part of that, but we've added quite a few things to the stats that are available at Blueberry for the pro customers, pro stats customers. Let's see, the hourly downloads is an interesting one to me. For the first 7 days of every file, and it actually has been going backwards, and so you can look at stuff that happened 3-4 years ago or whatever.
Well, I think he's only going back a couple of years, yeah.
Right, but or whatever. Yeah, I don't know how far back, but a lot of the current episodes that are already there, we had that data, it just wasn't reporting it. So now we're reporting that. So for the first 7 days, you get an hourly report, so you can see, you had 40 downloads at 2 in the afternoon and 50 downloads at 3 in the afternoon on day 1, and it goes all the way out to day 7.
It sure shows you, though, the spike. I think if people start looking at it, if they go to the so how you get to the hourly reporting in the stats is you have to go, and again, this is for pro stats users only. If you go to the episode level, and the hourly is only available in the episode level, so you click on an episode, you'll see that it's there. The information's there for hourly. And again, it's the first 7 days, but I think what you'll see is how fast from the time you hit publish. And pay attention to this too, folks, on new episodes, note the time you hit publish and then come back later and look at it and see how fast the download started. There's a huge spike that starts. And, it's still, at least some of my shows that I'm, or episodes I'm looking at, Mike, it's that classic hockey puck. Starts at real high, and then there's little peaks during the day. You can see based on time zone when people are maybe waking up. Some little spikes. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting to see the hourly data.
Yeah, and it's definitely, as you said, the hockey stick. They just, you first put it out, and, for the first day it remains high but drops off. And then, a day and a half out, it's onesie-twosies is what I've noticed with mine. But it's really cool. Just kind of gives you the idea, when do people, wake up and start downloading or start playing?
The information I'm finding pretty cool is this new geographic data that we're providing. So, last year we added, we added this year, Germany and Mexico.
Yeah.
So those are two additional ones. I think there's 5 countries that we're breaking out regionally data now.
Canada, Brazil, U.S., and Great Britain. Added last year.
Yeah, so Germany and Mexico are broken out now. But the real important data is what's something called DMA data. It's DMA data is specific areas within the United States. They're like, for example, Seattle, Chicago.
Roughly follows market areas for broadcasters.
Yeah, so there's 221 of these DMAs. And so what you're going to be able to see now is the DMA breakdown for your episode. You're going to know, what major city in the United States has the largest amount of your listenership. You're going to be able to see where people are actually. So I think this is going to be cool for planning like meetups. So I was surprised to see that, for example, in Chicago, there was like 184 listeners in Chicago. And then you can see all these different areas, but it's it does give you some indication of how your show's listed to within the United States geographically. So the DMA areas are really kind of exciting to me. And that data, though, only started on December 5th. There's no date. We can't go backwards with this data. It's, well, if we do, it's going to be slowly filled in because it's such a heavy lift from a,
it's a processing
side. So, because in some of the data we didn't have, I think two. So anyway, Mike, it's, you know, you're going to have to look forward with that data. You won't be able to look back. So in your next episode, after a week or so, just go in and look at those DMA areas.
Sorry, I didn't hit the cough button.
Well, at least you have one.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But yeah, like I said, I look forward to that. And, you know, just to prove it worked, I went and downloaded one of my episodes and then waited a little while. And after the stats had updated, said, oh, yeah, there's one from Traverse City Cadillac DMA, which is out of 221, we're 204, I think.
Oh, that's cool. So you actually saw your, and you live in an area which doesn't have that. How many people are in the Traverse City Cadillac area population wise?
Well, it's a huge geographic thing. It's half of the upper peninsula of Michigan and the northern half of the lower peninsula. So it's a huge area. So probably a couple hundred thousand people in that area.
But it's still, that's nice that it broke down. But of the 50 states, it's 221 distinct areas. So that's pretty cool to be able to get that breakout. And I think people are going to be really excited about that. So you see it in the geographic data. It's separate U.S. listings, and have fun with that. So next up, let's see here. Mike, we're showing our age here, dude.
Yeah, Alan Alda, if you remember who he is from the show MASH, which is constant rerun on some cable channels.
But I think it's on, like, now it's one of the, it's probably one of those syndicated, that's on, like, channels that are kind of obscure now at this point, don't you think?
Sure. But, you know, they went off the air, I think, in 1983. And at the time, the last episode of MASH was the highest rated TV show in history. And it still has that record. But Alan Alda has a podcast called Clear and Vivid. And, he's getting a little reunion together with the remaining cast of MASH. You know, a lot of them have died, but quite a few of them are still around. So if you're familiar with MASH, the guy who played Klinger, Jamie Farr, will be on. Loretta Swit, who's the nurse. Mike Farrell. And I think the guy that played Radar O'Reilly, Gary Berghoff, will be there. So... That's pretty cool, you know, for those of us that remember MASH and First Run, or, you know, got hooked on it on all the reruns that are going on. That'll be a cool episode to
tune into.
Listen to.
So some of you may not have ever watched MASH, but I bet you your parents did. So make sure you let them know about that. It may be a way to actually get them to listen to a podcast.
Yeah, that's all right. A good idea.
Yeah. Yep. So Acast, they raised another $35 million in a round C, and it just blows me away. And even over on Podcaster News, they're talking about this. You know, how did Acast get $35 million? You know, they've got, according to Daniel J. Lewis, who pulled some data here, and we're going to be talking a little bit about some of his data today, they only had 2.4K total podcasts listed in their directory, with 1.1K. being inactive, having not published an episode in the last 90 days, with a remaining only 1,300 podcasts, and they got $35 million. And, you know, and you think about this, you're like, wow.
Well, if you split that between the 1,300 shows, I mean, just be a nice payday for everybody.
You know, if you compare that to Libsyn and just work it out math-wise, because they're saying that the company now has... you know, this huge amount of you know, they got $155 million pre-money valuation. If you compare that to Libsyn's actual numbers of shows and actives and inactives, Libsyn should have a market cap of around $3 billion, which in itself is a pipe dream as well. It's just amazing. I wonder what's, I'd love to have seen the deck, the pitch deck that Acast used for its venture folks to get $35 million. But yeah, all you need is 1,300 active podcast folks using your service, and you can get $35 million. Mike, maybe we should go talk to the venture capitalist.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like it the way it is.
So, yeah, kind of amazing there. But anyway, cool. Now, speaking of Daniel's numbers, he's been doing some deep dives into basically, he's trolled or not trolled, but
he's been scraping the API over at Apple.
Yeah, he's been digging through that, and 609,000 podcasts is what Daniel says. Now our number's higher.
Yeah, but we're pulling in podcasts that aren't in Apple too, in our directory.
That's true. And he's seeing about a weekly fluctuation of 5,000 to 7,000 at Apple, which I think. Maybe that number is a little high, but it is something that we've seen too, which means there's a lot of people coming in and going out. And then, but what I found really interesting was some episode counts. Right. And if you look at, he's just looking at episodes in the feed, and this isn't really indicative of a lot. It's based on settings.
Right.
But if you look at PowerPress, the default setting for that is 10. I think we're going to switch that to 299 or 300 in an upcoming update. But one episode, 76,000 podcasts. That's all. There's only one episode in 76,000 podcast feeds. But if you look at that, like, wow, what's up with that? If you look at like Anchor, they have 41,000 shows with three or fewer episodes. So you could see where that number could have gotten bumped up by, you know, a few players in the space. So it's a curious thing to look at, because they've got segmentations broke down by company with lots of details on what they're saying. Now, Blueberry is not listed in the podcast list. And it's largely because all of you use your own .coms.
Right. And so we don't show up well when you see the other companies have put out these lists of, you know, which podcast host is the most popular. And we don't show up there because we don't have blueberry.com in everybody's feed on purpose. Right. So, you know, that's why we don't show.
And, you know, that's on purpose too. So it is kind of, an eye-opener, especially some of the data he came up with later that actually looks at how many for example, Apple Podcast. If you go into Apple Podcast on your desktop, you'll notice on the Apple desktop listings for your show, there's a place that lists your website link. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these services, or a lot of folks don't even have that set up correctly in their feed to be able to link back to their website. So the majority do, but there's still a segment of people that don't. For example, maybe Libsyn would be a good one to use. Let's see if I can find the list here.
Yeah, this is of the 40,000+ Libsyn feeds and Apple Podcasts, more than half of them have the website properly set to something other than a Libsyn domain, which is good, you know, for
that's good
for what they're doing over there.
So that, you know, that is a, an 18.3K point to the podcast page on the media host though. So that's to be of concern, you know, that there's 18,000 podcasters at Libsyn that are not linked. Well, maybe they don't have a site.
Yeah,
maybe they did that on purpose.
Right. It's you know, they have their site at Libsyn, and you know, some people that's what they do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go to some of these other companies like, you know, SoundCloud or Anchor, and the percentage of people not having a website is much higher. you know, and I don't know if that's just because you don't pay anything or don't pay much for that or who knows. But, you know, all but three out of 72,000 feeds at Anchor had the website pointing to anything other than Anchor, which is, I think it's just because those three probably are just imported in and they didn't change that tag.
Yeah, maybe. But
who knows? Who knows?
So I find it hard to believe that all Anchor shows, all 72,000 listings at Anchor, don't have their own websites. And if that's the case, that there are 72,000 shows over at Anchor that don't have a home other than Anchor, that's bad in my opinion. But you know, it's definitely, and maybe it's not even a setting. Maybe they're not even allowed to change it at Anchor. Who knows? But it is kind of an eye opener there. So.
Certainly, yeah. Anyway,
we're going to have a bunch of links in the show notes to all this data and lots of, I think, three or four articles that we're going to link to in regards to some of the stuff that he's pulled out, that Daniel's pulled out, and give you some insights here. But here's a set of interesting statistics. Now listen to this. SoundCloud has 2 million, this is globally he pulled out. SoundCloud has actively in the Apple podcast structure over 2 million episodes. Average of a 24.5 episodes per show. Libsyn, 1.9 million, average of 48.5 episodes per show. Podbean, 789,000 episodes in Apple podcast, 27.9 per show. Spreaker, 613,000 episodes in Apple Podcast, average 40.5 episodes per show. Anchor, 631,000 episodes with an average of 8.8 episodes per show. So if you look at the two free offerings, you look at SoundCloud, which has a partial free offering, and Anchor, which definitely has a free offering, they have some of the lowest average episodes per show across the entire Apple podcast as an average, which kind of shows you some trends there.
Yeah. Well, you know, you figure a lot of the free offerings out there, that's people dipping their toe into podcasting and then they decide either they like it or they don't. And they quit podcasting at Anchor. And if they like it, they go someplace else or, you know, whatever. And if they don't like it, they just quit doing it. So, you know, that I'm sure that's a lot of what it is. It's just,
I'm sure there's a lot of experimentation over there.
Certainly. And SoundCloud's probably the same.
Yeah. Not as bad, but, definitely their average episode count is lower. All right. Let's move on to some support items. WordPress 5.0 is on the street and, the Gutenberg, new saying, everything is going to be as Gutenberg gutted WordPress, but it's not that bad. The new Gutenberg editor is included in the WordPress update. This is a huge change.
Yeah, it makes the, the editor or the, you know, where you type your blog post and the title of your blog post, which fairly important things, makes them look completely different. But functionally, they're the same thing. It's just a very shocking change in how it looks.
Does it look different when you actually publish it on your website too?
It can, because you can format the title. You can format the in like text blocks and picture blocks and things. So it's a visual editor, and it is kind of cool, but if you're not expecting it, it's going to freak you out a little bit.
A lot. And it's hard to find where to go to
get rid of it.
And they call it code. They don't call it text editor. They call it code writing, which is kind of sad. But you can switch between visual and code still, but it's not easy.
Yeah, it's not as easy. And, you know, like I said, PowerPress works just fine with it. But if you want to get rid of it, there's a plugin that automatic, people behind WordPress, said is good. It's called Classic Editor Plugin. There was another one called Disable Gutenberg that I've been playing with too, but there's probably several plugins out there that'll put it back to looking like it normally does.
You basically get the update and all the security and all the other features, yet you'll be back with the original editor for your blog post. Now, the thing that I'm concerned about in Gutenberg, I guess that's the proper way to say it, is you need to make sure if you're loading images that you are sizing the images before you upload onto the image directory, because what they're, and I think this is going to cause them problems with Google, is that they keep the default size, and when you put it on your page and you size it, it just resizes it. It's the same image.
Yes.
And Google really does not like that when it comes to resized images within a page. So, you know, if you decide you're going to put a little image like 150 by 150 up in the left-hand corner or whatever you're, wherever you're, make sure that you upload the exact image size that you want into your media directory and put it in that way, because I think there's going to be some impact there, but we'll see over time. But, you know, I've instructed all my bloggers to make sure that when they're uploading an image, it's the size they want, and that, because a size matters in images, smaller is better.
Yeah, definitely. That was a problem back in the day where, you know, people would upload these 4 or 5 megabyte images.
Yep.
And then they would scrunch it down to 150 pixels.
And it's still
the image is still that size, and then they still have to load the whole thing. So, you know, just be smart about your image size, especially now in the Gutenberg editor.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit about the Blueberry directory. You got some things you want to put up there, talk about there, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the common things I get is people that are hosting with Blueberry using PowerPress, as we suggest, forget that last little step of putting your show back into Blueberry. The Blueberry directory is completely disconnected from the hosting or stat service. As far as, you know, we don't know you exist because you're doing it on your site. So come back to Blueberry and set your hosting settings. If you're hosting with us, or if you're not, just make sure you've got your RSS feed in the settings. And this does a few things for you. It gets you in the directory, which is cool. And it gets you in there with an updated thing. A lot of times, you know, if you're hosting with us, you'll have a directory listing, but if you don't give us your RSS feed, it'll be blank. So, you know, that populates your listing at Blueberry. It also allows the Blueberry player, you know, that fancier player that's available for hosting customers. It allows that player to have your image, because that image comes from your directory listing at Blueberry. It doesn't come from PowerPress. I know that confuses people, but we generate that player off-site, and to get that image, it has to be in our directory. And, you know, if you ever have trouble with your show and you contact us and you don't give us your RSS feed, if you have it in the settings over at Blueberry, we already know it, so we don't need to ask you, hey, how are you doing your RSS feed?
So. Yeah, it's too bad it's not tightly linked, but it's not. It's something we've asked our devs to do, is when you sign up for hosting and you sync your account, to sync that into the directory listing, but that has not been accomplished at this point. So it's a little bit of a chicken and egg thing. Just make sure you go through and look at your podcast listing at Blueberry and make sure all the information is there for us. It's going to be really, really important. It's going to help you.
Yeah, and it'll, like I said, help us not have to shoot a bunch of emails back and forth to figure out how you're doing things. And, you know, this week I decided I wasn't going to complain about anything. I've been complaining the last few episodes, so I figured I would just be nice and not do that.
Okay. So, you know, the holidays are almost upon us here. It's just amazing that we're already, you know, a third of the way through the month. And the week of Christmas all the way through New Year's Day, it's probably going to be a little slower. Some folks will be out with family, of course. We're going to have people still monitoring tech support, but definitely Christmas Day and New Year's Day, there will not be people around, and probably half of Christmas Eve, and same thing for New Year's Eve. In between, there'll be some coverage, but again, some people are taking some time off as people do around the holidays. So it'll be a little slower at support. So please know that, note that. Get your questions in early.
Yeah, and we'll be checking periodically and all that stuff. And, you know, I'm not taking a whole lot of time off, but, you know, you just, things go a little slower around that time of year, and we're doing the same.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I think if we stay on schedule, Mike, the next episode will actually be released on Christmas Eve. So we'll be here podcasting for you on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, yeah. So, don't take off the holidays for podcasting.
No. And we'll have some cool stuff to talk about on the next show for sure about stat certification and all that. So I'm pretty jazzed, and we'll basically see you then. But we want to thank you for listening to your podcast. We did get an email that we replied to that actually was more support related. So thank you for your comment. But don't forget, support is at support@blueberry.com. Comments about the show and things that we talk about here, you can direct either Mike and I at yourpodcast@blueberry.com. Of course, my email is todd@blueberry.com. Mike?
Yep, and I'm mike@blueberry.com. See, we made it easy.
Easy. So we want to thank you for tuning in to your podcast. We'll be back with you on Christmas Eve. Again, thanks for being with us. Take care. And thanks for being a customer here at blueberry.com.